Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Drive Through HR. It is Tuesday, August 11th, 2020. I am your Drive Through HR host, Robin Schooling, and with me today is a longtime friend of the show, has been a guest in the past, and every time she comes on, we are thrilled to have a conversation because it's always enlightening and fascinating and informative. So with that introduction, welcome, Sarah Morgan.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Robin. I'm always glad to be back at the drive-thru. This is the very first podcast interview I ever did almost 10 years ago. So it's always great to be able to come back. Yeah, it was the December of 2012, I think. So yeah, I'm always glad to come back. Yeah.
And you know, we're the drive-through that unfortunately has no, you know, shakes or fries or anything with the order.
I know, just, right?
Lots of good information. That's right. That's what we're here for. We're here to have good conversations. And you're always a good conversationalist. So let's kick it off by having you tell our listeners who may not have heard you before or are not familiar with you. Tell us a little bit about yourself so our listeners can get a taste of Sarah.
I am Sarah Morgan. I am the Chief Excellence Officer of Buzzaroonie LLC. So my company does consulting with small and startups on how to create inclusive workplace cultures through progressive, people-focused, equitable policies. And then I also do quite a bit of speaking and quite a bit of coaching for HR organizations like SHRM at the state level and different management organizations. And then I work with women and HR professionals who are trying to, you know, level up in their careers from a coaching perspective. And when I'm not doing all of that, I'm still a full-time practitioner. So I'm dialed in today from my desk. I just scarfed my lunch down and now I'm dialed in and talking with you all. I've been in human resources for 20 years and, I'm currently the head of HR for a national retail services organization. And when I'm not doing that, I am married with a blended family of 5 children. And we have a dog now. So like everybody else, we added an animal during this pandemic. So she's the cutest. So yeah, we enjoy that.
And as always, I always like to give a shout out to Big Dave. Whenever we mention your family,
yes, because he holds it down. Without him, I could not do any of the things that I do because he really keeps our house running and he keeps me grounded. So yes, always shout out to him.
And you also have a podcast of your own as well.
I do. I'm the host of the Leading in Color podcast, where I talk about building equitable, fair, and inclusive workplace environments through the lens of social consciousness. So a lot of it is me talking about how you do that in your workplace. And then I'm also talking with leaders of color about how they are doing that in their own organization. So I've been podcasting for about a year and a half now, and really enjoying it. And I, you know, I don't blog as much as anymore because I'm enjoying the podcast so much more.
Yeah, it's a different medium, but it's the same sort of concept. I think that so many of us
it is
have always enjoyed about blogging.
Yes, you still have to have like your cadence of how often you're going to produce episodes and organizing your content and all of those sorts of things. So all the, and how you grow your audience, like all of those skills translate, you know, very well. But I think the medium is just different than blogging. And I think, you know, it's just the evolution of kind of where we are. Once upon a time, blogging was the hotness, and not that it's not still, you know, a meaningful way and thing. It's just not the same as podcasting or even vlogging. You know, a lot of people are shifting to video. It's just the mediums that we're using are changing. So you got to kind of evolve with the times so that you stay current and relevant in the work that you're doing.
Well, speaking of that, I want to tease something that you have coming up, and which will lead us into our discussion. Then we'll give a little more details about it at the end of the show. But you are planning to hold a summit, the HROI Summit, in October. Tell us a little bit about that.
So the HROI Summit is going to be virtual on October 8th and 9th. It is a two-day workshop, so it'll be two half-days. And addressing around the concepts of pay equity and anti-racism. I have about 2,000 subscribers to my monthly newsletter. And so I polled them as I was thinking of putting this event together. I polled them about what they wanted to learn about. And those were the two areas that came up as the things that they, as HR professionals and leaders in their organizations, wanted to learn more about. And so I built two workshops around those concepts. And really, HROI, which stands for Human Return on Investment, is kind of my play on this idea that HR is not an ROI center within companies. We still fight that narrative every single day. And also the need for us in our continued learning as HR professionals to make sure that we are getting the return on investment, that we are grasping those practical things. So I wanted to play with that in what I named it, and really wanted to focus the concepts around the learning for what practitioners are really seeking in this moment. And those are the two topics that came up. So I'm really excited to be doing it. It's my first event that I'm doing solo. And so I'm excited about that. There's also, participants have the option to be able to buy up into the coaching cohort. So you go to the workshops, you spend 4 hours with me learning the concepts. We're going to like walk it through, like start to finish. Like, this is how you do an equity audit. Here are the different things you'll find. Like, all of that will be in there. And then when it's over, you have the opportunity to join the coaching cohort, where you'll be working with me and other great HR and DEI coaches who will come in and help you troubleshoot issues, learn more on these subjects, and ask them questions. Because once you go back to your workplace and you try to implement what you learned, you're inevitably going to come up against opposition, whether it's the data doesn't show what you thought it would, or there's something in the data that's different than what we talked about in the workshop, or you're working with the decision makers and they're giving you pushback and you don't know how to navigate it. Now you've got this coaching cohort of other like-minded individuals and experts who can help you get through that. So that's the HROI Summit in a nutshell.
I love it. And I think what it also does, which you've done over the years and very well in various formats and whatnot, is continuing that building of a community. You know, so you're, here's a resource for people in a community to come together. And yes, they're going to learn from the content, they're going to learn from the coaching, but they're also, they're building a community with each other, and they'll be learning
yes.
from each other as well.
Yes, the groups are
yeah.
small, so the workshops yep. are only 30 people, and then the coaching cohorts are only 15 people. So I wanted to keep it small and
mm-hmm.
intimate and interactive in order for everyone to get the most bang for their buck. There'll be checklists and worksheets and all kinds of things that that participants will walk away with that is really
mm-hmm.
a blueprint for how you do this in your workplace, because I just feel that so much of our continuing ed in HR has gotten too fluffy. And you
yeah.
know this, Robin, because we go to sessions and it's like we're getting pitched to and sold to, like, buy this software, buy this thing, and it's going to solve all your problems, and it never
yep.
does. The answers
yep.
to the problems are really within our own critical thinking, collaboration, negotiation skills, and that's what we
mm-hmm.
need to be honing. And so I really want to make sure that I'm helping to equip other human resources professionals to be able to do that.
I love it. And we're going to, when we wrap up the show, we're going to make sure to get that information out to everybody of where they can find and register.
Excellent. And I also want to say that I have created a discount code for the Drive Through HR listeners. So if they go and they register when they go to check out and they type
mm-hmm.
in DTHR as their discount code, they will get 20% off of their registration.
Ooh,
so
wonderful.
They will have that available as well.
I love that. So let's, you know, one of the things is that you and I have talked about in the past, and will certainly wrap its way into some of the content at the summit. But it's a concept that is out there that I think it's important for us to address, and that's microaggressions. It's
mm-hmm.
something that you and I wanted to talk about. So, you know, for those who are listening that have maybe heard the term but are not necessarily familiar with it, what are microaggressions?
So microaggressions is the term that we've come to use for kind of those commonplace, often unintentional behavioral or conversational or things in your, you know, space, your workspace, your environment that communicate kind of negative, prejudicial slights or insults towards a person of a marginalized identity.
Mm-hmm.
They typically come where it's either a micro assault where and those are what we look at in terms of slurs. Like, those are the ones we're most
mm-hmm.
familiar with, slurs and derogatory words and those sorts of things. And then you have micro invalidations, which
mm-hmm.
is when someone has experienced a microaggression, then you tell them that it didn't really happen. Like, you know, I say something to you, you get offended, and then I tell you all the reasons why you shouldn't be offended at the thing that
mm-hmm.
I said. So that's that invalidation. And it's the worst of the three.
Mm.
And then
mm-hmm.
the second are micro insults, which are really, you know, things that are kind of underhanded in terms of comments that are made to you where it's like, whoa, you know, where it doesn't always register immediately. It's that it catches you and then you have a moment and you kind of jump back and you go, whoa, like that wasn't, that's not very nice, you know, or that's not,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's not very appropriate for you to say. And again, a lot of times microaggressions are unintentional, but when you are in the workplace, anytime that you have a situation that causes a person to feel othered in the environment
yeah.
based on something that you've done or something that you've said or a way in which you've created the environment that they work in that makes them feel unwelcomed, not
mm-hmm.
included, and othered. Like, you here's the thing, you are different from the ideal, from the expectation mm-hmm. of this. That is a form of microaggression. And as human resources professionals, we really have to be mindful of this. We have to be mm-hmm. looking out for it, and we have to address it when we see it. Even if, because the thing with microaggressions is marginalized individuals, the average person, I believe it was the Center on Microaggressions that did a study about this, 2018. So they haven't published anything more recently than that. But the average marginalized individuals, so those are people of color, women, folks with disabilities, whether that's physical mm-hmm. or mental, the LGBTQ community, like all those are your marginalized groups, go yep. through on average 7 to 10 microaggressions per workday.
Wow.
So when you think about that, and they talk about microaggressions as almost like a paper cut, it's not, mm-hmm. It's not, you're not going to die from a paper cut,
mm-hmm.
but it still hurts. And if it mm-hmm. keeps happening over and over and over again, there's a part of you that normalizes it within yourself. Like, I know when I reach into this cabinet, I'm going to get cut. And so either mm-hmm. you mask, you know, you armor yourself to protect yourself from it, or you harden yourself so that you can function within it. And neither of those are ideal for how we want humans to function in the workplace. What you want mm-hmm. is to remove the thing. What you want is for the paper not to cut. So what we should be doing, instead of saying, oh, it's just a paper cut, deal with it, put a glove on it, stop being such a pansy, it's just a paper cut. Instead of doing those sorts of things, what we should do is say, how do we rearrange this cabinet so that when you reach into it, you're not getting cut? Because you shouldn't be getting cut. You should be able to reach into this cabinet, grab the paper that you need, and it not injure you. And so in mm-hmm. the same way, when people come to work and they're dealing with microaggressions, I should be able to show up to work as a Black woman with my hair styled in the way that it naturally grows out of my head, and not have to worry about people making comments about that, positive or negative, and mm-hmm. not wanting to touch it, and wanting to ask me, you know, all these questions about how it is that it, and why it is it looks the way that it looks. I should be able to come into my workplace and not have to deal with those things. And then on top of that, you know, that happens once, twice, three times a day, and then someone else asks me a different thing, or I go into a meeting and I'm mansplained to, you know, like I'm dealing with, now I'm on microaggression number 7 and I haven't even had a cup of coffee yet. And and that is happening to people over and over and over again. And the thing that I teach in sessions when I talk about microaggressions is that microaggressions are often the foundation that leads to harassment, bullying, and discrimination. So the more that you can address microaggressive behavior, call it out, and eradicate it from your workplace, the more that you're going to lessen the impacts of bullying and harassment and discrimination. Because when you talk to people, and you notice, Robin, you've done this, when you talk to people who have been harassed and who have been bullied, it always starts small. It always starts small. In most cases, it's usually, well, he made a comment about my dress, or she said something, you know, offhand about, I know I remember dealing with an employee, the first time that I wrote an employee up for microaggressive behavior, it's probably about 5 years ago. And it was right at the height of the Chick-fil-A brouhaha, when the founder of Chick-fil-A said that he did not believe in the LGBTQ plus lifestyle. and people at that point who were LGBTQ plus were calling for boycott of Chick-fil-A as a brand. And yes. It was all over the news. Everybody knew about it. And one of our employees who is transgender is sitting amongst his team in a bay of cubicles. And one of his teammates offers to go buy Chick-fil-A. And he says to her, no, you know, I don't eat there anymore. Yeah. And she was like, well, why? You know, she asks him, why not? And he says, you know, they don't. And he's transgender. And he says they don't support the lifestyle of people like me. And so she was like, well, that's fine. I'll go pick you up something from another restaurant that was nearby. And he thanked her and gave her the money. She goes off. She comes back. She brings him his food. And she was like, and hands him his bag of food and says, and I made sure that your transgender food never touched my heterosexual food. Ma'am, like, let's talk about it. So he was very upset. He came to my office just super upset and said, you know, why was it even necessary for you to do that in front of the whole team? Now he's embarrassed. And you know, I issued her a warning for microaggressive behavior for that, because it's those type of comments that lead to other sorts of things. That is a micro assault, that as far as I'm concerned, and it's an invalidation of his experience as a transgender man. And we don't do that here. And I can remember at the time there were people who felt like I was going too far. And I said, that's all well and good, but if I don't stand up for him when it happens to someone who looks like me and who deals with the things in their life that I deal with, no one's going to stand up for me. So I got to make sure that I'm taking care of everybody. And it's hard, you know, because everyone's like, well, she didn't mean it. I don't know what she meant, but whatever, but what she said was rude and inappropriate and can't happen. There was, you know, just give the man his food and his change and go on about your business. That's what you do. But to offer to go and pick up his food and then bring it back to him and joke with him about it in a way, no, you don't do that to people. And,
well,
you know,
and you know, it's employee relations 101, really, of, you know, what do we always say? What you know, back in the day, what did we learn?
It's
not the person's intent. It's the impact that it has. And this had an impact. You had to stand up and
for
do
that person.
What you
and it was
do. Exactly.
And I'll say, you know, as a, and I can say this as a human resources person, because I know the burden and the loneliness that we as practitioners often feel when we take those kinds of stands. And, you know, rest in peace to Chris Fields, because he was the person I called when that happened and had to shed a couple thug tears on the phone with him, because I was just so angry. And I was angry and no one understood, you know, in terms of the rest of my executives and managers, nobody had my back in that moment. And so I sent him a text and I was like, yo, you got a minute? I need to get this out. And I just went for a walk and he talked me off my ledge. So, you know, he did that many, many times during the course of our friendship.
That was one of his gifts to so many people.
He would definitely
part of those,
you know,
conversations.
Yes, he would get on the phone and cuss and fuss with me and then say, all right, let's take a deep breath and let's get back in there. And that kind of, that's what we need to do for each other. And that's one of the things that for me in creating this summit is also so important, and why I felt the coaching aspect of it was so important, because I want to make sure that practitioners, because you're going to meet resistance when you're trying to say, when organizations who have historically not paid people fairly and equitably, and now you're challenging them with data to show how disparate that is, and proposing to them some a way that they need to change it that they can actually afford, like to show them that they can do it. And if we just nip here and cut here, we can do it and not add money to the bottom line. Now they're mad because there's no reason and no way for them to say no. And that in and of itself is going to be met with resistance. And you got to have someplace safe that you can go to talk about that with like-minded individuals. And so it's important for human resources folks to have that community. And like you mentioned, and I want to make sure I'm giving that to them.
Yeah. Well, and it's, you know, it's these sorts of conversations and self-examination and organizational, you know, reviews. It's putting HR people in a place of power, and it's saying be courageous. It's okay to be courageous. It's not easy, but you know, you have to, I think, you know, when you're in HR in an organization, and it's easier said than done because everybody can't just quit a job because, you know, you need to live, right? But you know, do the right thing and work your damnedest to make sure your organization is going down the right path, and that takes courage.
It does.
You know, I love that. I think collectively as a profession, I see more and more HR professionals saying, "Yep, I'm going to be courageous. I'm going to fight that fight."
When it's lonely and even when I'm the only, you know, voice that's advocating for this thing, I'm going to do it. And absolutely, we can't quit. We can't all quit and we can't all, you know, become entrepreneurs and consultants. And so what I did when I was in those places where I was alone and no one agreed with me, and sometimes I was able to, you know, make the impact, and other times I got shut down, I took that energy and I invested it in my writing. Like, that was the time I started my blog. That was how I started my podcast. That was how I started my business, how I started Black Blogs Matter. All of those things were driven out of I can't have this impact over here, but I still know that I'm on the right side of history with this thing. And so I'm going to take it and have an impact over there. I volunteered for we had a local organization that helped folks who were coming out of jail to get their resumes together, transition back into work, prepare to interview. I volunteered for stuff like that. I volunteered at battered women's shelters. Like, I just took that energy because it wasn't moving in my workplace. So I took that energy and I found somewhere else to put that where it could do good until I could make that move. So that would be my piece of advice for folks. Like, if you can't quit, but you can definitely take that energy that you have and then volunteer and go do something else.
I love it. Well, we are down to just over about a minute and a half here. So what I want to do, Sarah, is remind everybody where they can find you online, various and assorted channels, and the HROI Summit information again.
Yes, the best place to connect with me is my website. It's Buzzarooney, LLC, BUZZAROONEY LLC.com, and from there you can get my blog and my podcast and my newsletters and get your tickets to the HROI Summit. I'm virtually being held on October 8th and 9th. Use your DTHR discount code so that you can get 20% off your registration, and do not delay because we only have about 10 tickets left. We're getting close to selling out, which is wonderful.
That is just wonderful.
We're getting close, so you want to make sure everybody uses that.
I love it. Well, we will get that discount code out as well. And Sarah, thank you so much for joining us today. And
it is always a pleasure to spend time with you, Robin.
You too. All right. Well, happy Drive Through HR Tuesday, everybody. And we are out of here. Goodbye.
Goodbye.